John chapter 12. So if you didn't hold your place in John 12, find your way back to John's Gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John chapter 12. And we'll begin our reading there in just a moment. Put your thumb in John 12 and just turn over to Hebrews chapter 1. I was reading in Hebrews this morning. It's just part of my regular reading. And just was struck by how powerful the opening to the letter of the Hebrews is in relation to what Jesus claims for himself in John chapter 12. So in Hebrews chapter 1, that's towards the end of your Bible. I hear pages turning. I'll let you get there. Hebrews 1, verse 1. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and by whom or through whom he also created the world. He, that is Jesus, right? He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. It's the word of God. In John 12, I want to take you back to verse 35. So Jesus said to them, "The light is among you for a little while longer. Walk while you have the light, lest the darkness overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may be sons of light." And then we're told after Jesus said these things, he departed and hid himself from them. And now jump to verse 44 and see if you don't see the connection. Jesus cried out and said, "Whoever believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And whoever sees me sees him who sent me. I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. If anyone hears my words and does not keep them, I do not judge him. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. The one who rejects me and does not receive my words has a judge. The word that I have spoken will judge him on the last day. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me has himself given me a commandment, what to say and how to say it. And I know his commandment is everlasting life. What I say, therefore, I say just as the Father has told me." It's the word of God. Lord, speak to us now. Give us ears to hear. Soften our hearts. Help us, O God, come to faith in Jesus Christ, to approach you as our Savior, so that we might not have to face you one day as our judge. Do this for your glory, for every man, woman, boy, and girl within the sound of my voice, O God, I plead for mercy on souls today, for Christ's sake. Amen. Well, verses 44 through 50 of John 12 might seem a little out of place. If you're looking for strict chronology, it's a little confusing, isn't it? Because in verse 36, we're told Jesus hid himself away from the crowds. And then John, as we saw last week, gives an explanation of the unbelief, the large-scale unbelief of the Jewish people. It was a fulfillment, he says, of Isaiah's prophecy. And then in verse 44, "And Jesus cried out and said," well, I thought Jesus hid himself. So we've got a couple options here. The first option is that Jesus came back out of hiding. just to plead one more time, urge one more time the crowd to believe in him, and to trust in him for everlasting life. I think that's the least likely option. I think what John is doing here for us is just using a literary device. He connects the two together. So I think we're supposed to make a logical assumption that this is an ongoing part of what Jesus was saying to the crowds before he hid himself away, because that theme of light in the world comes up again. And this also is a great literary technique for John to summarize as he is bringing the first section of his gospel to a close. He is now summarizing the primary message of Jesus to the Jewish crowds. We have heard these themes, haven't we? Over and over for many, many chapters now as Jesus has been preaching and teaching to the Jewish crowds, particularly in and around Jerusalem. And so I think this is not just a connection back to verse 35 and 36, but also a way for John to summarize before he has this great hinge in his gospel, chapter 13 and onward, is going to begin to deal with the last 24 hours of Jesus' life before he goes to the cross. And what a summary we have. Look at these themes. Aren't these familiar to you? If you've been traveling with us through John's gospel, you have seen these kind of truths being claimed and preached by Jesus repeatedly. John loves stark contrast, doesn't he? And we see them again here. You can believe in Jesus or you can reject Jesus. You can embrace the light of life or you can be enslaved by the darkness of death. You be saved or you'll be judged. These are your options. Belief, unbelief. Light, darkness. Salvation, damnation. There is no middle way. Not a single one of you who are capable of understanding the message today will leave here neutral about Jesus. It is impossible. Jesus doesn't allow for it. Jesus is the only Savior, and he's the only judge. That's the argument being made to us in these few verses. Jesus is the only Savior of the world, and he is also the only judge of the world. And I want to offer you four reasons why this is true. Reason number one, that Jesus is the only Savior and judge, is because he is himself the revelation of God Almighty. He is God in the flesh. He is God's perfect self-talk, if I can say it that way, or his self-revelation. John has been saying this all along, and now in this summary of verse 44 and 45, we hear it again. Can I just ask you, what prophet, what person talks like this? Whoever believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. Now, the Greek there means something more like this. Jesus saying, if you believe in me, you're not believing merely in me, but you're believing ultimately in God himself. And then again, he who sees me, whoever is seeing me right now, the Greek is present tense, see me, you are right now at that moment seeing the one who sent me, which is God the Father Almighty. Who in the world talks like this? I mean, when did Moses ever command Israel to believe in him? When did Jeremiah ever say, if you're looking at me, you're looking at God? Who says these things? What mere mortal would dare claim such things? Jesus is the way to God because he is God in the flesh. He is the meeting place of God and mankind. When you see Jesus, these Jews who are looking at Jesus, we're literally seeing God the Father Almighty. Jesus is going to say that again in just a few chapters. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. This has been John's message from the start, hasn't it? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. And by him, all things were made. And without him, nothing exists that has come to exist. It's pretty clear. Jesus himself in John 10, verse 30, said, I and the Father are one. And then in the same chapter, just a few verses later, he says, I am in the Father and the Father is in me. If you want to be saved, I got news for you. You've got to know God. Jesus is going to say that in his high priestly prayer in John 17, 3. And this is eternal life, to know you, the one true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. You cannot know God unless you know Jesus. To believe in Jesus is to believe in God. And therefore, he is the only one who has the authority to both save sinners who call upon him and to judge sinners who reject him. Paul says it this way, he, that is Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, Colossians 1, 15. Jesus makes the invisible God visible. In 1 John, the letter opens like that, doesn't it? John says, we held him, we touched him, we saw him, the word of life. Oh, I want you to know that Jesus is the only Savior and the only judge because he is the self-revelation of God Almighty. Reason number two, Jesus is the only Savior and judge. It's because only Jesus' light can dispel depravity's darkness. Only the light of Jesus Christ can dispel the darkness of your sinful depravity and mind. Do you know you all come in here with some darkness? Even those of you who are Christians and have been saved, don't tell me you had no darkness in your hearts and minds this week. You had some thoughts that God would define as dark. You had some things maybe you even said or did that God would say, that's darkness, that's not light. And if you're here without Jesus Christ, I want you to know that the Bible says you are absolutely being overtaken, consumed by darkness. Jesus warns in verses 35 and 36, while you have the light, you better walk, you better believe in the light, or you're going to be consumed, overcome by the darkness of your sin and your depravity. He says in verse 46, I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in me will not remain, or that word can mean live or abide in darkness. How in the world are you going to get the sin and the darkness in your heart dealt with? There's only one who can. Only one who has the light who can dispel the darkness and actually make you a new person from the inside out. Give you light in your soul, soul deep light. Jesus, the light of the world. His righteousness and his light is the greater light to which the law pointed. I brought that out a couple weeks ago. The Jews appealed to the law for the reason they wouldn't believe he was the Messiah. The law says the Messiah lasts forever, and Jesus essentially says, you want to be sons of light, you better come to me, the greater light. I'm the sun, the law's the moon. It has no glory without the light of the S-O-N. It points to our need of a Savior. Paul says in Romans 7, 7, I would not have known sin if it had not been for the law. This is how you know you need a Savior, because you've all lied, because you've all cheated, and so have I. Because we've not loved the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, soul, or strength. We've certainly not loved our neighbors as ourselves, and we could go on. You had better come to the greatest light that there is, or the darkness will overcome you. I've heard one pastor describe hell as everlasting darkness. The Bible would agree with that. Everlasting darkness and chains. Or you can have everlasting light in Christ. Which will it be for you? Number three, the third reason. Jesus is the only Savior and judge because only Jesus offers salvation to the world. Verse 47. If you hear his words, you don't keep them. You don't want them. You reject them. Jesus says, I do not judge him. That's present tense. I am not presently judging that person. For I came not to judge the world, he says, but to save the world. We heard this in John 3, verses 16 through 18, didn't we? You all know John 3, 16, but then in verse 17 it says, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the one and only Son of God. And then in John 3:36, it says, if you do not obey the Son, the wrath of God abides on you. So the primary mission of the incarnation, the first coming of Jesus Christ, the primary mission of the incarnation was to save God's people from damnation. The Greek here is very much like the Greek of verses 44 and 45. Jesus is saying, I did not come principally to judge. I came principally to save the world. Some of you have struggled with this. I hope I've helped you in private conversations. There are kinds of judgment in the Bible. Jesus clearly does in his ministry, in the incarnated ministry of Christ, he does make judgments, doesn't he? He even says, I've got judgments to make about you folks in John chapter 7. And when Jesus looks at people and says, if you do not believe that I am, you will die in your sin, that's a judgment. That's a warning of impending doom and judgment. When he says, you don't hear my voice because you're not of my sheep, he's making a judgment. But the kind of judgment he refers to here is that what the Bible calls great and terrible day of the Lord. The final day. Jesus says the last day. The judgment day. Or as the great Baptist preacher R.G. Lee called it, payday someday. It's coming. Payday, Sunday. But Jesus, the good news is he offers the world full of sinful rebels against him. He offers you salvation. I ask you, who else does? Buddha doesn't offer you any salvation. He offers you an eternity of non-existence, whatever that means. Hinduism doesn't offer you that. You get to recycle in Hinduism. You get to come back to the broken, fallen mess of a world and try again. All the religions of the world, do a few things and hope for the best. Say a prayer and toss it up. Only Jesus said on the cross, it is finished, as we sung. Paid in full. The wrath of God for the sins of his people poured out, and justice has been served for all who will call for mercy upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Who else offers this? Unalterable, permanent, right relationship with God is being offered to you right now through the Word of God being preached by this pitiful excuse for a preacher. But I want you to know that's what's being held out to you right now. A permanent right standing that can never be altered because it is not based on who you are and what you do or what you've done or what you will ever do. It is based on who Jesus is and what he has done, and it is finished. His righteousness will be credited to those who believe in him. Jesus will either save you or he will judge you. This is clear from our passage. Salvation or damnation, they're both under the domination of King Jesus. You will either trust him now as Savior, or you will tremble before him later as judge. Fourth and final reason that Jesus is the only Savior and judge is because Jesus speaks the Word of God. Verses 48 through 50, Jesus repeatedly says, more or less, my words are God's words, period. Every word that comes out of my mouth is the very word of God. And Jesus, as we know from John's gospel, he doesn't just speak the word of God, he actually is the word of God. He's the word made flesh. And isn't it interesting that Jesus says, I didn't come right now primarily to judge. That awaits the final day. But on that final day, what does he say will judge you and me and everyone else? The word he has spoken. We will all give an account to the word of Jesus Christ. You will not escape this. He is the final, full authority. All judgment, he said in John chapter 5, has been given unto the Son. Any kind of judgment that's going to be judged on the world or meted out on the world is going to come from the Word of Jesus Christ. The Word made flesh and the Word written down. You will answer to the Word of Christ that you heard me read and that we have been reciting in this passage. You will answer. This will be your judge on the final day. This commandment has been received of God. Jesus is the great prophet promised in Deuteronomy 18, who will arise from the people like Moses. But Deuteronomy 18 says, you will have to listen to this prophet's words, or God says, I myself will require it of you. In other words, I am so invested in this prophet, to reject him is to outright reject me. And that is exactly what Jesus is claiming here. You reject me, you reject my words, you'll answer to my word on the final day. Because my word is God's word. I have said what the Father says. Nothing more, nothing less. And the Father's commandment, to which Jesus refers here, in the context of John's gospel, it's very clear, isn't it? What has God the Father been commanding sinners to do repeatedly in John's gospel through the mouth of Jesus Christ the Son? If you could say one word that would summarize what that message is from God the Father through Jesus to sinners, what have you been commanded to do? Believe. Believe. I've named this whole series in John, Behold and Believe. Behold the Son of God and believe in the Son of God. That command, Jesus said, is everlasting life. That's the promise of John 3:16, isn't it? Believe in him. Of everlasting life. There was a common Jewish maxim of the day, one sent is as he who sent him. The one sent is as he who sent him. That's exactly what Jesus is claiming here. Listen, we got a members meeting ahead of us, so I need to wrap this up. But I want you to look, every man, woman, boy, or girl, boys, girls, teenagers, old people, and everybody in between. Look up here. You can have everlasting light and everlasting life, or you can be condemned to everlasting darkness and death. You can have salvation from your sins, or you can have condemnation in your sins, judgment of your sins, or redemption from your sins. This is how the message of Messiah confronts us. Who is Jesus? He is the only Savior of the whole world. And he is the only judge of the whole world. Which is he to you? God help us. Give us mercy. Help these men, women, boys, and girls believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Help them renounce anyone or anything else that they may be relying upon for everlasting life and righteousness before Almighty God. Give them faith in Christ alone. To the glory of God alone, we pray. And all God's people say, amen.